All right, beloved, take your King James Bible. Turn with me to 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 4. The Bible said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" I'm interested in that word overcometh. It simply means to prevail over. It means to overcome one's weakness. When we overcome, there are things that we have got to get over as well. I'm reminded the psalmist said he leaped over a wall. I'm reminded that Jesus, he went over the brook Kidron. There are some things we just don't go under, but we've got to get over. So today we study again on the subject, grace to get over it. And I'd like to go to 1 John chapter 3, verse number 12. The Bible said, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Today I'd like to talk to you on the subject, grace to get over Cain. Everybody in their life is going to get have a Cain in their life. Now, if we compare ourselves to Cain and Abel, I hate to have to admit this, but we might identify with Cain the way we do the brethren some more than we do Abel, but God forbid that be the case. The Bible said that we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. But everybody's going to have a Cain in their life sometime along the line. 1 John chapter 3, we find the feuding chapter. I call this the family feud, Cain versus Abel. Who are you this morning? Are you Cain or are you Abel? Let's get to Genesis chapter number 4 and let's study Cain just for a little while. And let's find out what kind of man Cain really was. In the life of Abel, Cain was relative. He was connected by blood, but he wasn't connected by the blood of God or the blood of a sacrifice. He was relative. You can be related by marriage. You can be related by adoption. But in this text, they were related by birth. And we're in a spiritual family, related in a church, work. Nothing could change that. He was close to him, so Cain was a relative to Abel. He was his brother. God had no respect for Cain's offering. Respect means to look, it means to gaze, it means to regard, it means to accept. Why? Cain wanted religion without blood, but Abel knew that the blood had to be applied in order for it to be accepted. We find out that Cain was a raging man. He was mad. He was wroth. That word wroth means to burn. It means to be hot. It means to be furious. It means to heat oneself. It means to blaze up in anger. It means to have a zeal and a jealousy. He was raging mad. When God rejected him and accepted Abel, he got envious. He got jealous. Boy, and I submit to you today, that's one of the number one causes of division between the brethren. It isn't over doctrine. It's over some nitpicky little thing that won't amount to a hill of beans at the judgment seat of Christ. And 9 times out of 10, it'll be jealous and envy. Not only was he raging mad, but Cain had a revelation from God. God told Cain, said, "Sin lieth at the door." Don't really know what this verse all means. I've heard everything that you can imagine about what people think this verse means, but I can tell you this. God pointed it out to Cain, and it was a revelation. God showed him the way, the truth, and the life. He heard God's voice. He was reminded, and Cain rejected it. Do you think Cain rejected God's way because God rejected Cain's way? That might very well be the case. Cain may have been a narcissist of some kind, and he said, "Well, if you're going to reject me, God, I'm going to reject you." And that's exactly what he did. And Cain in action said, "You want blood? Here's your blood." So he killed his brother. He murdered his brother. Cain in action said, "God, you want some blood? I'm going to kill my brother, and that's the blood you'll get." But that wasn't what God wanted. He wanted the blood of an animal sacrifice. Cain couldn't be reasoned with. Verse 8 of Genesis 4, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It looks like Cain was doing all the talking. Unreasonable people don't listen. They just do all the talking themselves. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the world, boy, they got the Cain mentality. They're all mouth and no heart. God forbid we ever be like that. He rose up against his brother Abel. The Bible said that he talked to him. And when he rose up against him, that means to promise, it means to boast, it means to act proudly, used with great latitude to see his we see his attitude of superiority. Cain has put himself on a level that he feels like's way above Abel. But God didn't like that one bit. He was selfish. He cared no one about himself. Cain was out there and they were in the field, the Bible says. They weren't in the pasture. If they'd have been in the pasture, they'd have been on Abel's place, but they were in the field. So they were in Cain's playground, if we could put it that way, my beloved. But not only was he rose up against him, But if you'll study, you'll find out there's no remorse in the life of Cain. Cain didn't feel bad about what he'd done. Cain had no guilt. He had no conscience. He had no regrets. He would have done it all over again. He had no repentance. He never said, I'm sorry to anybody. He never went and confessed. He never told God, hey, Lord, I'm sorry for murdering my brother. I never went to Adam and Eve and said, hey, I'm sorry for murdering your son. He had no regrets. He had no repentance. He had no revenge. Abel couldn't get him back, or anybody else for that matter. God put a mark on him in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 15. I don't know exactly what that mark was, but I submit to you that it was a mark of mercy. Why? One of the hardest verses we'll ever have to live is, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God was saying he was the only one that was going to punish Cain. Letting God take care of those who have wronged us is hard sometimes, but it must be done. Cain, he had nobody could get any revenge on him except for God. The Bible said, then we learned that Cain had no reservations. Chapter 4, verse number 16, he went and got married and built a city, and he just went on like nothing ever happened. I took Abel's life, now I'm going to live mine, was the attitude of Cain. These kind of people drive me crazy, beloved. I don't see how they live with themselves. I mean, I had a preacher come to me one time, and he said, brother, he said, pray for me. I've been a Cain. I ain't done my brother right. I told him, brother, get right with God. Stay right with God. Walk with God. Go try to get everything fixed as good as you can. Just look at what Cain's end was. It was judgment. They may live on in this world, but they'll pay for it in the next. Hell, if somebody don't get saved and does a brother wrong, the judgment seat if they are saved. Well, there's grace to get over Cain. How in the world do we get over Cain? How do we get over somebody like this? Well, beloved, we've got to let Abel be our example. We'll find out, first of all, that Abel died to the one who slew him. Abel never fought back. He may have never seen it coming. We must not be a pacifist. There are times to defend ourselves, our family, and our country. But I'm reminded of what my good friend, Brother Sammy Allen, always said. He said, Brother John, a dead man ain't got no feelings, nor will he be running his mouth or trying to kill the one who killed him. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. When he died, he got closer to God than he'd ever been. He got to go back to what his mom and dad had lost in the garden. He had to die to the one that slew him. Oh, sometimes you're going to have to, but there's a time to do like David did when his elder brother Eliab stood up against him, but there'll be the times you got to bite your tongue so hard it bleeds, and Abel just simply died to the one who slew him. Nextly, if you're going to overcome Abel, you're going to have to not talk about Cain unless it's scripturally inspired. Cain's name is not found in the four Gospels. Jesus never mentioned his name, only Abel's. He did make it to Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, only to be exposed in a negative light. 1 John said we could see what not to be like, not as Cain. Jude chapter 1, verse number 11, going the wrong way, dying to it. There will still be times it needs to be talked about. There'll still be times it needs to be brought up. But his name only shows up in three times in the New Testament, and it needs to be kept to a minimum. So we don't relive relive it the rest of our lives. Jesus never mentioned it. Remember Abel. God, you don't need to talk about it unless it's scripturally inspired. You don't need to be calling everybody and on the phone and Facebooking Cain and all that bunch of mess. But then we got to remember Abel, God had respect unto your sacrifice. And so we learn Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, our sacrifice is Christ. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. God had respect unto your sacrifice, and God had respect unto our sacrifice, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he'll respect the sacrifice of a man or a woman that's saved, that gives their body to God. I asked you this morning, is your all on the altar? Well, we've studied die to the one who slew you. Don't mention his name unless it's scripturally inspired. Then we've got to remember that God had respect unto your sacrifice, Abel. Then nextly, Cain may have got your life, but he couldn't kill Abel's spirit or soul. 2,000 years ago, Abel resurrected from the dead with Christ. You remember Jesus resurrected, and those Old Testament saints resurrected from the graves. Abel's one of those bodies that got up. You may go down, but you ain't going to stay down forever. His soul and body went to paradise. We'll see him. He's coming back with Christ. Cain may have got our spirit, but he can't get Jesus out of our heart. He can't stop a resurrection. We studied Jacob a little bit, find out when he found out Joseph was alive, Jacob's spirit revived. And boy, I'm glad, thank God, one day we'll get up. I mean, you may be beat down today. There may be a loudmouth can in your life, and every time you get around them, they've got that attitude of superiority. They've got some old cocky comment to say, some critical comment to make. And, boy, they beat you down. But one day you stay with God, God will let you get back up. Well, we don't let him get the best of our spirit. Then next, don't forget about Seth. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 25, Seth is not Abel's seed, but he's his brother. God will always have a godly man to carry on his work in your absence. Abel, God sent a Seth. And Abel, boy, he's a testimony, brother. He's got a touch of God in his life, and all of a sudden, Cain rises up and kills him, and now he's dead. And so, well, God, all right, Cain, you going to kill Abel? I'll have us a Seth. So there'll always be a good, you shut one preacher down over here, God will raise another one up over yonder. You shut one church down here, God will raise another one up over yonder. You shut one witness down over here, God will raise up another one over yonder. The world can do everything they can to kill Christians, but God's always going to have a voice on this earth. He's always going to have a witness. Until the church is raptured out of here, neighbor, he's always going to have somebody, great God, to carry on his work. In chapter 4, verse number 10, God told Abel, said, thy brother's blood speak for me from the ground. Let your blood speak for you. He spoke of his pain, it spoke of his hurt, spoke of his suffering. Cain may have tried to hide it, but Abel couldn't. Amen. His blood spoke to God from the ground. Abel, just tell it to Jesus. Boy, there'd be sometimes you're going to have to deal with people. And the only prayer you try to go to them, it ain't going to be nothing but like, just like Cain and Abel. It ain't going to do nothing but escalate into a fight and get worse and worse and worse. But if you'll tell it to Jesus will take care of it. If it burdens you, it burdens the Lord. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, free from Satan, spiritual offspring. Boy, I tell you what, there is grace to get over a Cain. I know this is a little feeble, little thought this morning. This is what we've had on our heart. There's grace to get over sin. There's grace to get over separating with the brother. There's a battle from Genesis to Revelation with the brethren. It's sad to say, man, you got Jacob and Esau, Cain and Abel. You got David and his brethren. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But there is grace to overcome. Brethren that don't do you right, brethren that want to kill your prayer life, preaching life, kill your church life, there'll always be somebody out there, neighbor, that's want to try to take you down. But don't forget, Cain and Abel may have been spiritual physical brothers, rather, of the same mom and dad, but they weren't spiritual brothers. God be with you till we meet again. Thank you for tuning in.